G'day listeners and welcome back to the APS News Bulletin. Now once again guys, the APS News Bulletin is all about providing you with that weekly content, the weekly information of what's going on out there in the property market and keeping you up to date and a well-informed property investor. Little reminder here guys, the APS News Bulletin is sponsored and powered by School of Property. Now let's jump straight in guys. First cab off the rank is Australia's rental market tightens as February statistics raise concerns. Now brought to us by the BuzzFeed News Desk, Australia's rental landscape demonstrated further challenges for prospective tenants in February, reaching new levels of scarcity across the nation. A report by PropTrack, penned by Paul Ryan, senior economist over there, highlighted a decrease in national vacancy rate by 0.1%, bringing it down to a record low of 1.0%. So almost 1% flat, guys, across the board, across the nation for the vacancy rate. Now, this decline was observed in both capital cities and regional areas, with capital cities experiencing more of a pronounced tightening, leading to a vacancy rate of 1.04%. This marks a shift from previous trend between 2020 and 2022, during which rentals was more difficult to find outside of metropolitan areas, meaning that the shift has now come back into metro areas and into your capital cities. It is slightly harder to find rentals now in capital cities compared to the regions, which is the first change in the last 3 years that has come to fruition. Obviously, with COVID and more people moving back to capital cities as well, from a lot of those lifestyle locations during that window, that's why we're seeing that play out, guys. Sydney and Melbourne were key contributors to the tightening rental markets, with their vacancy rates reaching new lows of 1.1 and 1.07% respectively. Perth and Adelaide continue to be the most constrained markets in the country, with both cities having sustained rental vacancies below 1% since 2022. Perth now has a vacancy rate of 0.85%, with Adelaide slightly ahead at 0.83%. Brisbane follows closely with a vacancy rate of 0.95%, guys. So both Perth, Adelaide, and Brisbane all sitting around about that 0.8 to 0.9% as a whole city, guys, from a vacancy rate perspective, so extremely tight. Both Sydney and Melbourne has obviously seen tightening, but they're both slightly above the 1%. The biggest reason that I believe we're seeing that and seeing that tightening with both Sydney and Melbourne in particular is so often when migration goes crazy in Australia and when a lot of the time when migrants come into the country, like last week's stats that we brought out in this same report as well, there's so many people coming at the moment, they migrate most of the time to the biggest capital cities that most people know. And for migrants coming to Australia, that's Sydney and Melbourne. And what they do when they move here is they rent, they don't buy. Hence why we're seeing a very, very strong, decrease there with the vacancy rate, guys. And very interesting to see both Adelaide and Perth in particular, super tight, and Brizzy. Doesn't really surprise me because of the amount of net interstate migration that we're seeing there. Again, referring to last week's potty, Perth is actually the fastest rising country from a population growth perspective and has been for over a year. Hence, we're seeing those super, super tight numbers. So very interesting to see, guys. Very interesting to watch. In summary, the rental conditions are only getting worse out there. Vacancies getting tighter. And this only leads to one thing. It's continued rental growth. Now, for a lot of you investors out there who have been owning property, you would have noticed especially the last 12 to 24 months and beyond, specifically the last 12 to 24 months, the vacancy rates have been super tight. It's really quick and easy to lease a property. All your rental rates have been increasing. I know myself personally, from properties I had 1 to 2 years ago, I'm up across the board between about $100 to $200 a week in rent, depending on location, depending on the asset type. But my lowest rental would have increased by $100 a week in the last 24 months. One thing I'll say on this as well, guys, for you rent vesters out there who might be a little deterred or going like, well, if rent vesting is a strategy, but all the rents are going up, vacancies are getting tighter, it's getting harder. Yes, that is the case. But what you got to realize is this is a small window in obviously the bigger picture of what you're trying to do out there. If you went out and just bought a primary residence, you got to remember your mortgage rates are still very high at the moment. Yes, the outlook is that they're coming back, but a little bit of pain from a rental side and getting yourself a good lease in there as well and finding a rental, while that might be a little bit of a headache for the next maybe 1, 2, 3 years, if you go out there and build your portfolio, if you're already doing that, if your rents might increase by $50 to $100 a week, say from this time last year to where we are right now. But if you had 2 or 3 investment properties that did the same performance, and again, this year you acquire a few more and potentially into next year as well, it's going to be a compounding effect of your rental property rental growth is actually going to massively outstrip what you're going to pay when you're rent vesting that place that you're renting, even if that's going up by 50 to 100. If each of your investments is going up $50 a week and you got 2, 3, 4, 5 of those, something like that, it's going to outweigh the additional amount you're going to pay as a rent vester renting that house, but you're going to get further ahead because of the portfolio obviously growing and accumulating, but even the rental difference as well of having a portfolio producing that too. So don't lose hope. It's obviously part of the strategy. If it is part of your strategy, you know, stick to your guns with this thing and stick it out, and it'll pay dividends from that front. Now, flowing on quite aptly, I believe, into point number two, guys, moving on from obviously the rental vacancies getting super, super tight and only getting harder out there. Point number two, our topic number two, is Australian renters are being driven into more affordable housing. This article is again by Leith Van Onselen. The highlights from Leith's article are Australia's record immigration-fueled population growth is driving rental inflation higher, with demand outpacing new housing supply, meaning rents are obviously increasing because there's not enough coming to market. The tight rental market is expected to persist due to limited supply of new dwellings, strong population growth, and shifting preferences towards more residential space. Poor rental affordability is leading Australians to seek share housing, with demand for share accommodation soaring in January this year. Despite an 18.8% increase in new property listings compared to last year, demand still significantly outweighs supply, with some suburbs having seeker to lister ratio of over 100 to 1, meaning there's more than 100 people searching for every one property that's currently available. Surging net migration and population growth in the second half of 2023, along with a decline in residential construction indicators, are expected to further exacerbate the demand to supply imbalance in the rental market. Meaning this is only going to continue, this is only going to get worse. But like I said, guys, a lot of the time that surging migration comes into the big cities. A lot of time you've got your share houses or you've got people renting rooms and whatnot in those big cities and whatnot as well. What always happens is people get jack of it after 1, 2, 3 years. They're sick of the unaffordability of a big capital city like that. They realize the employment opportunities in other smaller capital cities or big, strong regions, and then they make the shift and they make the move out there as well. So, but it's very interesting to see, obviously, that more and more people are being driven into this, into more affordable housing options in all areas, right? Just in summary on this as well, guys, more affordable rental options are highly desirable right now. Things like share houses and granny flats, the cheapest product in desirable areas, are staying very, very largely in demand, obviously due to that price point and the amount of demand. There's always a shift when this happens, but so I think, I think it's going to happen for 1, 2, 3 years potentially. And really what it is we always see is the bottom end of the market, as people get pushed out of this level and it kind of keeps jumping, they trade down, whether they stay in the same area, they share house, or they rent grannies in those areas, or they move a little bit further out to the next spot that they can afford. It's the same as the ripple effect that we see in price growth, but we see it in rentals, right? And rental growth and rental markets as well. So very similar thing playing out here, guys, from both a price and a rental perspective. I don't see this easing anytime soon. Again, I believe we've got a solid 2 to 3 years of this left. While migration stays high, while building and building approvals remain low, we're going to continue to see this imbalance, which likely is going to be another 2 to 3 year window as a minimum. Moving on, guys, point number three, probably the biggest reason you clicked on this title. 39 economists predict when the interest rate cuts will start. Now, there's an article here by the AFR written by Cecil Laforte, and her article was titled RBA Will Struggle to Cut Rates This Year. And it's a survey on all the big banking economists and all the big different hedge funds and whatnot, leading economists in the country, 39 of them, and them being surveyed as to when they believe interest rates will come down. There's a lot of unaffordability out there in the market at the moment. A lot of people that bought, properties at peaks and at highs, especially in cities like your Sydney and your Melbourne. They bought them at the top. Interest rates have now, have peaked out and are at a very high level as well, meaning unaffordability is at a very high level. So this is where a lot of people are kind of talking about, well, when is this going to happen? This report here written by Cecil is really coming down to where the economists are predicting they're going to land. Now, bear with me a little bit, guys. This one's got a bit of length to it, the article of hers, and I think there's some really key points here worth going, in depth for. The Reserve Bank of Australia is expected to be the last major central bank to start cutting interest rates, and economists are predicting the cash rate remain on hold until at least November. A sizable minority of economists, so still a decent amount of them, say 2025 is more realistic for the first rate cut from the RBA because inflation hasn't slowed as much as other countries and the job market remains very tight. Unemployment is still extremely tight, guys, out there. That's one of the big things that the RBA obviously wants to see loosen up a little bit because it will help wages growth ease as well. The Swiss Central Bank surprised the market last month with an interest rate cut, heightening expectations about which of its peers will move next, meaning which of the economies out there in the world. Markets are fully priced for the US Fed and the European Central Bank to ease policy in July, but there is a strong chance of both cutting it in June. In Australia, resilient labor market, booming migration, rising house prices, super boom, guys, and a share market at record levels suggested the RBA's 13 interest rate increases or a whopping 4.25% basis points. So that was a 4.25% rate increase that we've seen over the past 2 years. Since 2022, are still filtering through the economy. The median forecaster in the AFR's survey of 39 economists shows the RBA will start cutting rates in November, while financial markets project it will happen in September. Both groups have consistently pushed out the timing of the first cut over the past 12 months. They keep pushing it out, thinking it's going to get a little bit further and further out. This time last year, economists and traders, the RBA would have kicked its monetary easing cycle by now, so rate cutting cycle, with economists in April 2023 survey forecasting a rate cut in Feb. So obviously, most of the economists, this time last year were saying a rate cut now or a couple of months ago was going to come. Obviously, they're pushing it further out because inflation is staying stubbornly high. Wages growth hasn't eased too much yet. And obviously, the property market is still surging and going pretty crazy as well. So they're pushing these expectations and these predictions further and further out. The latest quarterly survey, half of the respondents predict at least 2 rate reductions this year and more next year. The median forecast is for the cash rate to bottom at 3.1%. It's currently at 4.35%. So we're talking 1.25% rate cut, which would be equivalent to 5 cuts of 0.25% in this next rate cut cycle. Now, in summary, guys, and how I've literally got the list of people in front of me here looking at their predictions, for the RBA rate cuts and when they're going to come in. Majority of people by the end are saying by the end of this year, there's going to be at least 1 rate cut. Majority are actually calling 2 to 3. The vast majority of people are calling 2 to 3 rate cuts by the end of 2024. And majority are, again, banking most of these figures sitting between about 3 to 3.1% as a base rate. So where the RBA drops from the current 4.35%, that's the Reserve Bank, what they lend money at, down to between 3 and 3.1% by the end of 2025, so by December 2025. Now, what's really important to note, guys, is we obviously don't pay the RBA rates, right? So we don't pay what the RBA puts out. The RBA lend the money to the banks, and then the banks obviously have the retail rates that they then pass on to us as a cost, obviously, of doing business. So right now, with rates sitting at the 4.35% from the RBA, most of the banking rates out there right now from a retail perspective is sitting between about 6.5% for your 80% lens, up to about 7 to 7.5% for your 88-90% lens. So, for those to get cut back to around about a 3% base point, we're probably dropping back to those long-term averages of around about 5 to low 5% in terms of a retail interest rate that you'll be able to get from the bank or that your loans might be chopped down to as well. So, very, very promising. My predictions on that, guys, I don't believe we're going to see 2 to 3. I'm no economist that spend a lot of time at uni, studying all this sort of stuff as well. But my predictions are we're going to see 1 by the end of this year, either in November or December. My gut feel is we're only going to see that many because I think inflation is going to stay stubbornly high. I think price growth is going to exceed a lot of people's expectations this year. I think rental growth will also exceed a lot of people's expectations. I think that will keep inflation high amongst other things as well. Resilient labor market and everything as well. Unemployment rate. So I believe we're going to see 1 rate cut by the end of this year. And by the end of 2025, I agree with the premise of seeing on average 1.25% rate cut in total, being 5 rate cuts of around about 0.25% at a time. Some people have come out bullish. I know big Lukey Chusin, our property economist, came out thinking there'll be a half a percent in one hit. I think the government and the RBA are going to be trying to keep a real lid on this thing, not try and let it out too quickly too soon. I think it'll be a very staggered approach. It's not going to be, big hits at one time or consecutive months, again, month after month after month, like we saw with the rate increases. I think this will be slow, it will be drawn out, but the idea will be to ease it and let it come back into the economy instead of doing one big hit, which could send the property market on a crazy run. That's my take on it, guys. That's where I'm kind of sitting. One good thing is obviously for the rate cut cycle to not come too soon. The biggest reason for that is that the economy is doing well. The economy is in good shape. Inflation's becoming relatively under control, meaning that we are going to see it coming through. But yeah, guys, a big summary point here is obviously we're going to more than likely see some rate cut by the end of this year. As a final point on this, guys, really, I turn back to the Super Boom podcast of last year and everything we've been talking about and the market forecast that we did a few months ago as well. I firmly believe if the rate cycle does start being cut at the end of this year and then we we do see the total of 1-1.5% rate cuts by the end of next year. I do firmly believe we are still going to push into super boom territory. And I believe a lot of markets are going to see some extremely strong growth, you know, even from the last couple of years all the way through to the end of their cycles. And I think a lot of other markets that are starting their runs now are going to see massive, massive price growth over the next few years. And it's going to be very, very interesting to watch that all play out. Now, listeners, that's a wrap for another APS News Bulletin. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please send it on to someone else that you think might take some great value out of it. And until next week, guys, that's me signing off for another APS News Bulletin on the Scouting Australia podcast.